sweet people. Happy New Year. Exactly.
Happy New Year.
Hey, I'm a little under the weather, so I'll be doing my Tallulah Bankhead impression today. I'm kind of jacked. Anyway, but what I really meant to say is welcome. I am Reverend Judith Laxer, and I'm honored that you've chosen to spend an hour or so of your time here with me and this community in Gaia's Temple. I'll ask you to take a moment, if you haven't already, and turn off your cell phones so that we don't have any disturbances during our worship service. And then we'll start with our song, and the words are written in your program. And this is a song that was written for us, for Gaia's Temple, by Shauna Carroll. And we're going to sing it now because we're going to be using it later when we induct three new official members to our ministry today. So we'll start it now so we can learn it. A lot of you know it, but join in once you do. Remember the mother, remember her sacred ways, knead her children. Temple. You're going to have to sing for me today. She's our creator, the one who gave us birth. We live within her sacred grove of earth. Remember the mother, remember her sacred ways. We, her children, we build the temple every day. The ground is holy with every step we take. Gaia is living with every breath we take. Sacred ways, we her children. Lovely. So remember that, as we're going to be singing a little bit later. So now I'd like to introduce Brandon Miller, who's going to do some incredible announcements for us today. Actually, that's the little mic. You can take that out and hold it right to your face.
Or I could just sit.
Or you could just sit.
All right, so good afternoon. I want to start by reiterating from last month that the best way to stay on top of Gaia's Temple news is to get signed up on our mailing list, which you can do out there in the hallway, and of course showing up to the services as well. But in case you miss one, you get your name out there, and then you will receive by email the announcements of the various wonderful things that we offer here at this community. So if you haven't already done that, go to guystemple.org, and or you can use the sign-up sheet on the network table, excuse me. And so to let you know, the very next Sabbath celebration is going to be in bulk, which we'll be celebrating on Friday, February 3rd, 7 p.m. at the Cunning Crow Apothecary in Greenwood. We are asking $15 for the event, and it's going to be a potluck. Flyers with the specifics are on the networking table out there, too. And you'll also find a sign-up sheet for ritualists out there. So if you are interested in participating as a ritualist for In Bulk, the planning meeting is going to be coming up on Wednesday, the 11th at 7 p.m. at the Reverend's office, which is by Green Lake. Also, Karina Frenzel will be teaching a beautiful class, there she is, called Bridget's Flame, Sacred Light. It will be on Friday evening, January 27th. That's just 1 week before In Bulk. And that class is going to include making 8 Sabbat candles, so you'll be prepared for the whole coming year of Sabbats. It's a very special offering, and so pre-registration is required, and you can get your name on the sign-up list out there as well to be able to participate in that event. Also, the annual Women of Wisdom Conference is coming up on February 16th through 20th. And once again, there are some great events being offered there, including Reverend Judith's workshop on Sunday, the 19th, from 2 to 5. It's entitled Athena, a Goddess for Our Time. Sounds fabulous. The conference will also feature some of our wonderful singers, including Pamela Gerke, Robin Nozirkas, Colleen Colrus, Linda Steen, and the Reverend Judith herself. They will be performing right before Laurie McCammon's keynote address on the transformative power of enough. Also, Kellyanna and Wendy Rule are giving a concert on Saturday night. So there's lots of special events to choose from at that Women of Wisdom conference. Be sure to pick up a brochure out there on the networking table and check it all out. Oh yes, this is always fun to watch these numbers rise. We now have our Gaia's Temple Facebook page at 77 likes.
And 777.
I mean, I'm sorry, 777. Missed a little seven, but yay, you got to give a cheer for that. And we want to keep that number climbing, of course. So the best way to do that and get us up to, say, 1,000 next time will be to get the message out about what we do here, what is offered here in this unique and special temple. So you can like us, you can follow us, and you can share our posts with your friends. You can also express your feelings about these Gaia's Temple services and what they mean to you by posting your thoughts on these social media sites. And really, sharing your Gaia's Temple experience is one of the best ways that you can continue to help build this ministry, which we are all doing together, building this ministry together, and we thank you for helping in that way. Also, a reminder to shop, when you shop Amazon, be sure and do it in one of the two ways that you can help support Gaia's Temple by doing so. And so you can go directly to on Amazon. When you shop Amazon, you can go, there's a little Amazon Smile, and if you go through that program, you can just sign up and designate Gaia's Temple as your charitable organization of choice. And then every time you buy something on Amazon, we get a little piece of that. So that's a great way. And then also you can go through our website. Again, that's guyastemple.org. So just go through that first, and then you pick the Amazon. It'll kind of walk you through the process and do your shopping that way. And that's great, because that just gives us a little kickback each time. So finally then, everyone is welcome, as always, for the fellowship immediately following the service. Please do stay and enjoy that with us, and thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. One thing I just want to add to that about the Facebook things, I learned yesterday from Julie Miller that it's, what did I learn from you yesterday, Julie Miller? Right, so if every time you see something from Gaia's Temple you like it, then that kind of increases how you see it in your feed. And that would be a good thing. Everyone likes to be liked. Since we're already brought up Julie Miller, we have two new board members who joined us just yesterday at our board retreat. Ladies, would you stand up? Julie Miller and Stina Brown have joined our board. Thank you, ladies. So, and you know, this means that now we have four Aries on the board. We are on fire. Okay, I think it's time to create some sacred space. So if you would, take a nice deep breath, close your eyes, go within. Oh, and start to bring yourself very present to this moment. Let the rest of the world drop away. And any part of you that you left behind in your past, anywhere all the way up to the moment before you arrived, any part of you that you are projecting into tomorrow and the future and the rest of your life, gently ask all those pieces and parts to come home so that you can be here now. And breathe into that presence. And on your next exhale, begin to ground yourself to the earth by imagining a line of energy that extends from the base of your spine, reaching downward through the chair that you're sitting in, through the foundation of the building, and deep into our precious Mother Earth. Feel as she opens to receive you as you send your taproot down, 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 deeper and deeper, until it gets exactly where it needs to go so that you feel very grounded and connected to her. And once you reach that place, send out smaller little branches, reaching out, taking root, little rootlets, taking hold. So you're holding her, but she's holding you. Such a beautiful, reciprocal relationship. Imagine now that your roots become porous and start to drink that energy up and in and up, knowing that as you drink the energy of the earth in, you're taking in her unconditional love, her nurturance and sustenance, her strength. And keep drawing all that beautiful energy up, up, up. Let it transfer over into your spine. Keep drawing it all the way up your spinal column till it gets to your heart. And when the energy of Mother Earth gets to your heart, let her rest there and take another deep breath to make more room. Letting the energy rest there in your heart, look to the heavens and find the moon. She is waxing now, and she just turned to Gemini. She just flipped from Taurus into Gemini in the last few moments. And so now we have that beautiful Gemini sun full of air and inspiration, very social sign. And so draw that beautiful goddess down, the silvery moon in Gemini. Feel as she pours down from the heavens, open your crown to receive her, and feel as she pours down through your head, through your neck. She is making her way into your heart. And when she arrives there once more, breathe deeply to make more room. And now with the earth and the moon there in your heart, look to the heavens once more and find the sun. He is grounded in Capricorn. Past the solstice now, he is gaining strength, albeit just a few moments a day. And feel as that strong, rooted Capricorn sun, our Sun King, pours down his golden, radiant light and open to receive him. And feel as he pours down through your head, through your neck. He too is making his way to your heart. And once more, breathe deep when he arrives. Good. Now in a moment, I'm going to have us take a deep collective breath together. And when we exhale, let's imagine that we can use our breath to push the energy straight forward out of our hearts, beyond our bodies. We'll let it swirl all around us, creating our safe and sacred space. So here we go. Deep breath. And out it goes. In this way, we say we have stepped between the worlds. What is between the worlds is not affected by the worlds, but can heal and transform. And so we say our circle is cast in perfect love and perfect trust. Blessed be. All right, so I'll ask Julie to come on up and light the candles for us while we sing In the Elements. And North is on the front side. Spirits of the earth, carry me. Spirits of the earth, carry me home. Spirits of the earth, carry me home to my heart. And to air in the east, spirits of the air, carry me. Spirits of the air, carry me home. Spirits of the air, carry me home to my heart. And to fire in the south, spirits of the fire, carry me. Spirits of the fire, carry me home. Spirits of the fire. Water in the west, spirits of the water, carry me. Spirits of the water, carry me home. Spirits of the water, carry me home to my heart. and to Spirit in the center. Spirits of the center, carry me. Spirits of the center, carry me home. Spirits of the center, carry me home to my heart. Give us a chime. And now for the invocation. You know, there's no mic on over there, so maybe you grab that mic. Or you can use mine.
High tech.
It is right there.
So the marker in your program and the responses be with us. Great God, all life.
Be with us.
Loving God, great provider.
Be with us.
Mother Nature in all your beauty.
Be with us.
As the new year rolls out,
be with us.
Today we turn our focus towards staying centered.
Be with us.
We seek to find and know the gift we bring to the world.
Be with us.
To find our courage to stay present and witness as life unfolds.
Be with us.
We keep hope alive in our hearts and our souls.
Be with us.
We gather on this fine day to be in your presence.
Be with us. Blessed be. Thank you, Julie. So quiet. Okay, so this is where we say good morning and hello to each other. How many people are here for the first time in Gaia's Temple? Some new folks are here. So, the rest of you, make sure you go over and say hello, make them feel welcome, learn their names, make some eye contact. Here we go, everybody. You can do it, it's a new year. Good morning, hello, nice to meet you. Carol, we're gonna, are you okay? Sorry. We're gonna do the When You're Magic and then the podcast starts. So I just wanna make sure I found you. Okay. All right, good job, everyone. All right, Carol. I spent a few days over New Year's with dear friends who recently moved to Banff National Park in Alberta, Canada. And if you've ever been there, you know how beautiful it is. The landscape of the Canadian Rockies is one wonder after another to behold. And I'd been there in the summer, so I'd seen the beauty, but of its lofty mountains and turquoise glacier lakes. But now I got to see it covered in snow. And the mountains were even more majestic, if that's possible. In the summer, they're covered in green from the trees, of course, but in the winter, the snow really magnifies the definition of every crag and ripple and dip. It was just gorgeous and cold. So one of my friends had gotten a bonus from work that he gifted to us, which was a 25-minute helicopter ride over these amazing mountains. I got to sit right up front next to the pilot. I know. And after we watched the safety video and then walking up to it with our heads down like we're in an ER episode, you know, we get strapped into our seats and off we went. And it was a clear, sunny day, so visibility was amazing. Up, up, up we go, closer and closer to the peaks that you see everywhere around you when you're walking in the town. The town, it's like this, and then the mountains are just everywhere. And I noticed after a few minutes that I was still sitting there with my mouth open like this. I mean, it was jaw-dropping, literally. Once we got up there and we crested over the first mountain ridge, it felt as if the bottom dropped out. We're like, whoa, that was very deep drop. And as we flew over the valley and we could see the Bow River snaking through, down through the canyon, it was just an extraordinary experience. But it was flying right next to the mountain peaks that just takes your breath away. I mean, you see them, but when you're like, right next to them, you know? Then the pilot tells us that the Rocky Mountains are about 80 million years old. 80 million. And that the glaciers just froze and melted and froze and melted as they carved out the mountains during that period of time. And as I sat there in the sky, flying right beside these mountaintops, it felt as if I could just reach out and touch them right there. And I simply gaped at the pristine snow, taking in the design that the wind made in it. And when I thought about how the only thing to touch them was the wind, of course, I started to weep. I wept at the beauty and the grandeur. I wept at the sight of the little shadow our helicopter made on the side of the mountain, which showed me in scale just how small we are. I wept at how lovingly held I felt by the mother. Those 25 minutes changed me, I think. I don't often get to see nature completely untouched like that in person. You know, we get to see photos, but we don't always get to witness it ourselves with our own eyes. It was just magical. There's no other word for it. I know I'll never forget it. And as we returned and descended, I felt a strong resurgence of my fierce desire to protect the goddess, Mother Nature, our planet. I know how crucial that is for the future generations, of course, but after that ride so high up there in the sky with the sun shining on her, pure white snow, I wanted to protect her simply for her, for her own sake. And for her beauty. You know, not that I ever did doubt it, but after an experience like that, there is no doubt that she is alive and sentient. I feel so blessed to have gotten so close to this amazing natural wonder, as if I was almost able to like lean my head on her mountain breast and hear her heartbeat. So happy New Year, everyone. I hope your holy days were good ones, and that you are feeling ready to begin anew. You know, once you start to follow the wheel of the year and the seasons become your spiritual guide for living on our precious Gaia, 10 days or so, you know, after the winter solstice seems a pretty random date to choose to say a new year is beginning. But because we are in collective agreement about it, we live into it as truth. And so it is no longer 2016, it is 2017. And for those of you who are into numerology, the changing energetic of the date does indeed feel different because of this collective agreement. 2017 is a one year. It truncates down to a one, which is a year to initiate, to begin, to spark something new. Now, on a personal level, this would be a good year to step up and do what you have been dreaming of. What's been on your bucket list, what you keep putting off for one reason or another. Use the energy as a catalytic. It's a catalytic year, so you could use that to get it going on. Now, we all know that many of our New Year's resolutions don't make it past January, but on a one year, they just might, so go for it. Another reason that the January resolutions might stick, bless you, or at least gain momentum, is due to another rare planetary occurrence. It's called APDM, which stands for All Planets Direct Motion. Now, we're familiar with Mercury going retrograde. In fact, Mercury just went direct 20-something minutes ago. Yay! And we're familiar. Mercury goes retrograde about 3 times a year, and that can be a very challenging period of time when Mercury goes retrograde, but all the planets go retrograde from time to time. And depending on how far out there, that's how long, you know, the retrograde period goes. Mercury's pretty close to the sun, so it's pretty quick, and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, from now that Mercury has gone direct to February 3rd, all planets are in forward moving. Usually there's one or two planets somewhere that's in a retrograde kind of motion. But all of them are moving forward now. And that is a rare occurrence. So for the next month, the things that we do, the things that we implement or initiate, have all that cosmic power working toward them. So go for it. On a collective level, we know we are facing some major changes in our government and therefore in our world. A new regime is rising, and it's already changing the policies of our country, and speaking for myself, I don't care too much for what is being catalyzed. I'm not too happy that all those planets are helping that agenda move forward. I don't care for that at all, the fear-mongering, the short-sightedness, the mean-spiritedness, the denial, the cutbacks in all the wrong places. So as we enter 2017, it's worth asking ourselves how we collectively, how will we use this catalytic energy in response to what is happening? What might we spark with our consciousness, with our hearts and sensibilities, with our will and our strength? We are going to need our strength. That is for sure. I think it's extremely important for us to contemplate this and to make a plan, even if the plan needs tweaking as we move along. Because that will give us something to come back to as the hits just keep coming, right? A plan to stick to when times get rough is always a good strategy. Because when the hits come, their force can be such that it throws us off our center. And we all know we do not do our best when we are not centered. Has anyone here felt off-center since November 8, 2016? And when we find our center again, you know, and then we find our center again over time by sharing our feelings with like-minded people so we don't feel insane or as insane, and then boom, they try to annihilate the Independent Ethics Committee, and whoosh, off we go again. Center? What center? I'm not only off center, I can no longer find where center is. Of all the things to try to do, remove the ethics committee. If that isn't a neon billboard sign, boy, I don't know what is. And may I point out that although they will review this issue in August, so it's the game's not over, they're just gonna put it off and review it again in August. But it was our public outcry and activism flooding their phone lines and email services and social media that caused them to withdraw this action. So in case you don't think that just your one phone call will do anything, multiply that by millions and you have a power to be reckoned with. So I signed on to this thing that gives you a daily action that comes into your email box. There's like lots of places where you can sign on, and every day it says, call this person, write that person, sign this petition. Well, the truth is that because we live on the West Coast, often by the time I do get it and call, the phone lines are already, they can't even take another voicemail. But what that shows us is the millions of people who are engaging in some form of activism. It couldn't be more important. And we tend to think, oh, my little thing's not going to make a difference. But it does. Another example of this, I don't know if you heard anything about what took place with the Rockettes, but you know, the inauguration is taking place of the president-elect, and the Rockettes were signed up to perform. And Rockettes. When I was in showbiz, this was the signal for Rockettes. She went to an audition, you know. Oh, she got into the... But anyway, so the Rockettes are in New York. New York is as blue as it gets. And these Rockettes were like, I'm sorry, I don't want to kick my legs at that thing. And then they were threatened with losing their job because you're hired to do a job and you don't get to say where you perform. But then word got out over social media and the petition started and the pressure and the pushback. All of a sudden, the producers of the said, we didn't mean that you had to. I mean, they were threatening to lose their jobs. No, that's not what we meant. We just meant that we would sure like for you to do that. And they withdrew, but they withdrew because of public pressure. Now, if everybody had said, oh, that's just too bad for them, but didn't do anything, those people would have to perform for someone that they don't want to perform for. So this shows us how important even the smallest actions are. Rockettes. So as we learn about each one of these, the latest bit of madness that comes in our disbelief and our despair and our dread, it messes with our Zen spiritual peacefulness within. So of course I have a few suggestions that I'd like to share as part of a plan that we might have to help us find our center again and again if necessary, and who knows, maybe it will keep us from losing our center to begin with. So in addition to my sorrow and my anger and fear as I recognize what's coming down the pike, I get overwhelmed. There is so much to do, so much to resist and counteract and derail that I find myself just flooding out. Now, granted, I'm a Pisces with a Cancer moon, so flooding emotionally is not new or strange to me. And I do my best to handle that in my personal life, and at 58, I'm still not completely successful at it. But the collective emotional influence, the magnitude of how precarious that is, the terror at what could happen, this gives new meanings to the word flooding out for me. And when I flood out, I am rendered powerless. The overwhelm is like a tidal wave, so much bigger and stronger than me, it's all I can do to not drown. Anyone else here feeling overwhelmed in this way? It's paralyzing. The tasks before us seem so enormous. How do we know where to start? How do we know what to start? So this is where we need to bring it on home. And by that I mean to remind ourselves that no one individual is going to be able to do the whole shebang. No one person or deity is meant to save us. No one person is responsible for where we are or responsible for getting us out of where we are. It's all about us. But I'm not in control of all of us. Dang. I can only control myself, and on some days, not even that. But my own head, my own actions, this is where my power lies. So when I bring it on home and I remember who I am, then I remember what I can do or what I already do, and I remind myself that that's enough. And if in my heart I know I could be doing more, then I could choose to do some more. But if in my heart I know I'm already just barely hanging on, then I put my energy into maintaining, and that's enough. We create stories in our heads, you know? And some of these stories are catastrophic. And we create our own little tidal waves that needn't be there. But when we bring it on home to ourselves and we scale it back, we can find our footing once more. We can find our power again. We have to repeat as necessary. Each of us brings gifts, a gift, if not many gifts, to the world. We come into this life with a soul that wants to grow and learn and participate. We make the choices for our life so that we have the chance to evolve. And many of the choices are very personal, so that we may learn to be more kind or just or loving or forgiving. And those opportunities usually happen in our personal lives and in our interactions with other individuals. But I believe there's something more here. The fact that our souls have chosen to come here now at this point in time, to be adult citizens of this country at this time, when the divine feminine is rising again as prophesized as the new age and the Mayan prophecy beginning in 2012, and the patriarchy is in its death throes, and it's time for the great turning, see? And it's the time of the, you can't plan stuff like that. And it's time for the great turning. It means that our souls have chosen to participate as well, beyond their own personal agendas. That we have chosen to be here now to participate in the great collective and to do it consciously. I'm sure that every soul that has ever been embodied here on Earth in the great history of our planet has in some way participated in the collective experience. But we, in our time, with our freedoms and privilege and ease in living, and with our access to higher thought and spiritual development and choice and expanded thinking, we have a unique opportunity in how we participate. I've talked about this a lot in Gaia's Temple, about how our unique gifts are like the tiles in a mosaic, and that each tile is necessary to create the beauty of the big picture. So when we bring it on home and we scale back to ponder what our own gift is to offer, that is the thing to do. And like I said, we may have many, many gifts, but if we are overwhelmed, and even if we're not, we can choose one and then get really good at it, as good as we can get at it, and then offer it up for the greatest good. We may think that what we are good at is not important enough, or will not make enough of a difference. But if we remember that all we need to do is find that one thing that we can do beautifully and contribute to the world, then we're golden. Let's sing a song, you and me, Simone. Your imagination, as if telling a myth to a child. Put in the fantastical, wonderful, magical. Add the romantic, the brave, and the wild. Once upon a time, there was a power so great that no one could know its name. People tried to claim it and rule with it. Always such arrogance ended in shame. Thousands of years would pass in a moment. Hundreds of cultures would come and go. Each generation with a glorious calling, even when they were too busy to know. And then one day, after 2 millennia, which after all is a small part of time, hundreds of souls found their way out of nowhere to be on Earth for the threat of decline. They moved as one being, even though each would arrive here alone. They promised to work in grace with each other to brave the beautiful planet called home. There was no promise that they could save her, but oh, how exciting to give it a try. If each one did just one thing beautifully, complex life on Earth might not die. And so they arrived in a spectrum of colors. The population of Earth did explode. Some threw themselves in front of disaster. Others slowly carried their load. Some adopted small girls from China. Some lived high in the branches of trees. Some died as martyrs. Some lived as healers. Some bravely walked with a dreadful disease. They mingled among each class and each culture. Not one of them could be identified. Together they promised just enough moments to help the lost and the terrified.
step outside of their egos and their bodies to know for once that we truly are one. Then quickly they would forget to remember, but that's okay, the job was well done. And Earth went on for another millennia. Now it's time for my song to end. This magical story of hope and of wonder invites you all to wake up and pretend to be magical creatures sent from the power of souls who have come with one purpose in mind, to do one thing that will alter the outcome, and maybe together we can do it in time. Can you call on your imagination as if telling a myth to a child? Put in the fantastical, wonderful, magical, add the romantic, the brave, and the wild. The souls are coming back, the souls are coming back. The souls are coming back. Simone Ledbrava! Thank you, Simone. Thank you, Simone. So let's take a moment now, if you would, close your eyes and go within. Take a nice deep breath. And if you came in after we created our sacred space, then go ahead and ground yourself to the earth now. And if you already did it before, then reestablish your connection to your grounding cord. Breathe deeply. And then bring your attention up to your third eye in the center of your forehead. Go ahead and open it up like your actual eye, and look out through it into your imagination, and find yourself sitting before your altar on a late winter's afternoon. If you don't have an altar that you use for yourself, imagine that you do, and you're sitting before it. And the sun is slanting in through the window. You can feel how much colder it is by the window. And there on the altar, among many other sacred objects, or any other sacred objects that you might have, is a basket of candles. And this reminds you that the next Sabbath celebration is Imbolc at the start of February, time of blessing candles in gratitude for the growing light on the wheel of the year. Imbolc, when we honor the Irish goddess Bridget, it's also a time to dedicate yourself to something meaningful. And often the dedication at this time is made to one's spiritual path, but that's not the only thing that we can dedicate ourselves to, as long as it's meaningful. The act of dedication itself is spiritual in nature. So as you sit here at your altar a few weeks before Imbolc, it's a good time to begin to think about what you might choose to dedicate yourself to. And of course, wouldn't it be best to dedicate yourself to that one thing you do beautifully, the thing that is yours to do in grace with the others here with you, so that complex life on earth might not die? Now, you know that this is true. You are one of those souls who have chosen to come back to help in this all-important cause. And now is the time to take up that charge. So take a moment now and ponder what it is that you do beautifully. You might already know what you do beautifully. You might not think it's very important or important enough. But then you remember about
each tile in the mosaic, how necessary it is, each one is. And that means yours too. Or you might not know what that one good thing is that you do beautifully. Maybe you need to develop what that is. And that's good. That's good to know. Don't mistake that one thing to be beyond what feels right for you. You don't need to be perfect at something that doesn't suit you in order to contribute. Just think of the millions of people calling their congresswomen and men and the good it did. Maybe you decide that you're going to focus on helping a specific demographic or help to protect a specific region or choose to dedicate yourself to teaching a child to read or helping seniors fill out necessary and confusing paperwork or help out at a tent city, learn to do CPR. One thing, doesn't matter what, one thing, but one thing beautifully. So I'll be quiet now as you ponder what that is.